Okay, I'm glad to
know. No, we don't even sell it. No. We, in fact, we make sure we tell people not to get the signature series.
Oh.
They have boycott.
Are you leaving? Is this something Jake said?
You don't have to be there to find him, and he, the
not where he hangs out. And eventually we find out where he really hangs out and who he really with is us. And so we are the temple of God, the temple of Christ, and he lives in us. So wherever we go, we take him with us. So if we go into church, Christ is there. Who's wife? So we go into a church, he's there because he's in us. So many churches, there's no Christ at all. There is no Christ and no God in this church he's talking about. So he says then, God who made the world and every man, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands. So there isn't any way that now that we can worship with our hands. This is not worship. Although he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. So everything is given, it all comes from him. Pretty simple doctrine, isn't it? And then he says this, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. So that means if I need a blood transfusion in China, be fine. You know, I gotta have some Chinese blood, I could have some African blood, I could over in Africa from over there if I need it. My son thinks that's really funny. That's good. But that's the curve. One blood. He made everything. Now the outside doesn't look that way, but that's what the inside looks like. And then he says, man has determined their pre-appointed times. How does that sound? That means what that means is that everyone has a time here on the earth. And for some of us, it's like a 40-yard dash. And others, it's like a marathon. But we have no say in that. It's God that defines that. It's God that does that. He accomplishes it. He does it when he wants it. And we leave when he wants it. And we come when he wants it. It's all about God. So this is what Paul continues on. He says, he's determined the pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So he has chosen where we are, who we were parented by, where we lived, what color our eyes were, everything about us, in other words, has been done by him. It's an amazing thought when you think particularly on the boundaries of the dwellings. I used to like to think, oh man, I don't know if I've been to Hawaii, but Hawaii is really, it's awesome. I mean, I used to think, oh man, I could sell out. And I could actually live in Hawaii, but I can't. Why not? I don't know. I can't. The reason is because our boundaries run all our lives that we can't get beyond. Because we've got boundaries in our dwellings from where we live, and then he moves us around any way he chooses to. But I can't do these things in my where all my will. It doesn't work very well that way. That sounds kind of crazy, but this is the way he's saying it. Then he says, so that they should seek the Lord. That's the reason. So he put me with my mom and dad and my family that I was in that was so dysfunctional, so that I could find the Lord. In the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So he's evidently close by. But we can't find him because we're blind and can't see what we're doing. So these verses, I've thought about it a lot. I like it. And this is pretty much what he says. He goes on a little bit further. You can read it on by yourself. But he speaks a little bit more to them. He talks about being a dead God and whatever. So you can read that yourself. But I wanted you to understand the facts, mainly that he determined their pre-appointed times. Isn't that a beautiful thing? This is something that God did. And also, the boundaries of the dwelling. Where we were, who our parents were, that whole thing, from my hand. And we're going to go back into our suffering a little bit. And tonight, I'm going to share with you kind of a family suffering that we went through.
Don't cover up the phone.
Oh, exactly. I have 20, about 24 or 25 people in our family, and they all live within 2.5 miles. And I don't know how that happened. I remember waking up in the morning, and I said, "Hey, everybody's right around me." I thought it was really good if you had kids and your son amongst them. That's something that Christians talk about. You get rid of them. And so I was telling somebody about it. I said, "I don't know how that happened. You know what? They're all around me." They said, "Well, maybe they like me." I had never thought about that, but maybe they did. I don't know. I still don't have any idea what it is, but they're all around me. But anyway, we have of the grandchildren. I have a story to tell you about my grandson Luke. Luke is the second child of my daughter Laura. And my son Paul has 5 children, my daughter Laura has 5 children, Kelly has 3 children, so that's 13 grandchildren that we have also, which is a tremendous blessing to the family. But Laura is my second child, and her husband, who she's married to, is Chris. So you get the picture, it's Laura and Chris. They went through a very painful divorce about 2 years ago. And Laura and her 3 young children were living in an apartment for a year. Then they came to live with us on kind of a temporary basis while we're getting ready to buy a house. They were ages 16, 13, and 10. Two boys and a girl, 15-year-old girl. Luke is 17. He had 2 failed suicide attempts. And was pretty involved with drugs and a kid that really was carrying a lot of pain. We went through a period of time with the family. The family kind of all connects with each other, more so, even more so than I do. I'm not really a connector, but they all connect and they all talk to each other and it's how so-and-so doing and they do all that kind of thing. And it so happened that they couldn't find Luke, and they couldn't get any contact from his father. He was staying with his father down in Friendswood, which is about 25 miles away from where we live. So Paul and Kelly, my son Paul and Kelly, my daughter, they decided they would go down to the house and take a look to find out, you know, what was going on, if they could find one of them, because no answer. So they went down there, and what they found when they opened the door was a body. And the body had a cover on it, kind of a blanket. So they lifted up the blanket to see who it was, and they couldn't tell because it had been a few days. And so they left there knowing that either Chris or Luke were one of the people. And we found out within probably 24 hours that it was Chris. So at that point again, we didn't know it was Chris, so we didn't know what had happened, how it happened, you know, much of anything. We still don't know a lot, because Luke is the only one we think has the key to what happened. And when we talked to Luke, we visited him in Galveston jail, and he can't tell us anything. So we don't know. We don't know if we write to him, he writes to us. So it was quite a trauma for our family. So whenever there's anything that goes on like that, everyone comes to our house. And so everyone was there as soon as we found out about it. And it was kind of a family gathering, but it was like one I'd never seen before, because the people didn't really know how to handle it. It was shocking. It was a shock for all of us. And the children had to be told also. This was my greatest suffering, and the event was when they had to tell the children. And the children just, the screeches out of their mouth, I've never heard that before. I've never heard that sound. My grandson said, my dad will never see me play baseball again. He's running around the house. Really, oof. So So I sat up on the couch and wept. And not over anything that had happened, except that event. Because I just love those grandchildren. So the first day was difficult, and everybody's trying to figure out what happened, why, you know, everything. And that's really a waste of time, because if you don't know something and you're speculating, and everybody has their own speculation, so I would say to them, you know, let's a little time pass. So the next day they came back again, and everybody's around the house again. It became evening, the children were playing, there was plenty of food, people brought some food in. And, I was sitting on the back porch and I had my Bible, you know, and I said, Lord, I wish I had been in the book of Ecclesiastes in a group that I'm in. I said, well, I would like to really share these verses with the family, but I don't want to grab them and pull them, try to get them in the group and all that kind of stuff. I said, I can't. I'm sitting on we have a huge back porch area in the backyard, and everything's all over the place. So I sat down with them, and I spoke the words to God. And within less than 5 minutes, every single person was sitting in the porch. And not a word was spoken, and there they were. So I said to them, you know, I'd just like to speak to you, because I told them about Acts 17, and that for some people, their dad had 51 years on the earth, and he's not with us anymore, and God had chosen to take him. And we may have 60 or 70 years on the earth, maybe like me, I have 84 years on the earth already, but I don't have anything to do with that, and your dad didn't have anything to do with it, and you don't have anything to do with it. God created us, God made us. Anyway, I went through the process of that, and then I opened to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'll just read a couple of verses for you. You don't need to look to it if you don't want to. I'm just going to read a couple of them. He says, God says, to everything there is a season. Everything. To everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. This is such a wonderful way to think. And we could align our lives with this, nothing would surprise us, because it's just another season. The time to be born, the time to die. The time to plant, the time to pluck what is planted. The time to kill, and the time to heal. The time to break down, and the time to build up. The time to weep, the time to laugh. The time to mourn, the time to dance. The time to cast away stones, the time to gather stones. The time to embrace, and the time to refrain from embracing. The time to gain, the time to lose. Isn't that good? I mean, my investments, I'm going to win some, I'm going to lose some. My games, I'm going to win some, I'm going to lose some. The time to tear, the time to sow. The time to keep silent. Time to speak. Wish I knew that all the time. The time to love and the time to hate. Time of war and the time of peace. This is all the purposes of God. So we shared and talked about this. And the kids had quite a bit to say. We had some time. Some people prayed, some people talked, some people just, it was a combination of things. And then someone said, why don't we sing? And so Roger went and got his guitar. Grace was singing. The kids were singing. Before the evening was over, everybody was singing. And not only spiritual songs, they were just singing. So I'm sitting there listening to this. And I'm going, oh, good Lord. This is beyond the natural by so many means. I mean, this should, how could this even be? There it was. So Luke now is in Galveston County Jail, and he's been charged with the murder, and He's 18 years old, just spent his 18th birthday. 19, I'm sorry, 19th birthday. He's 18 years old. So my wife died a letter the other day, and he said, I'll just read it to you. He said, "Dear Donnie, sorry for not writing more sooner. Thank you for the book you sent me. I'm currently reading it right now. I heard about your wrist surgery, and I hope it went well. I wish I could enjoy the comfort of your all's home for a day. Hang out, smoke a cigar. Hopefully, your SCOBY is still alive, too. You all know what SCOBY is. Gonna have this last thing. Lives in our house. I have so many good memories to draw back on, from garage sales, buffets. Thank you for them. And tell Poppy I said thank you too. Everything's okay with me right now. Still, Justin is searching for a steady rhythm. One of the guards let me know that a little about judge and attorney, and said that I was in good hands. Love you, Nani. So Luke has really come to his senses, and even for Luke, who may be the greatest evangelist that there's ever been, we don't have any know about that. He was raised in the Lord. He's memorized Psalm 91. This kind of stuff before put into his life. So he's full of the Word of God. But at this time, he's not quite ready at this point. But he's drying out, and he's drying out. So this has been 9 months, I guess, around 9 months. So he's dry and thinking, and just exactly what God would have had. If he had committed suicide, or he'd been taking his life, which we think, if we would guess something, we would think that he had planned to kill his dad, and then he was going to go from there and kill himself. That was his next plan. But it didn't work, because the police stopped. And from his truck, So, I called my brothers, and both my brothers, I have two younger brothers, and I called them to tell them about it. And the first one that I called, made kind of a loud noise, and he was really shocked and surprised, and so we have to go through all that. And then he said, you know, Dave, he said, given the right circumstances, I would have killed Dad. So, Jack, I didn't have that. I said, all I'm going to do is get out of there. And I got out at 17 years old. All I'm going to do is get out. And so I got out. But that was after you. I can understand that. And I said, he was a very difficult character to live with and deal with day by day. So I called my next brother to tell him a few days later, because it was just hard to tell both my brothers. And so I told my next brother. My next brother had kind of a shriek noise that came out of him. And then he said the same thing to me. Given the right circumstances, I would have killed Dad too. So, you know, I've been thinking a lot about that. And young men, old men, men, the raising of sons, and you know, there is a definite tearing away that takes place, but it seems to be being very unhealthy as we get into some of these areas of people. So I'm thinking some of that. Well, would you put that next over there? So this was kind of a group suffering. What's going on now, I have to tell you that the children, the healing of the children is amazing. It's just amazing. I'm amazed that they spent the next 6 months with me. I had no suffering that took place, other than the grandchildren one day. I suffered that. But the next 6 months, they were in my home, Laura and the three children. And what we did with them, and what God called me to, very, very simply, was comfort, and to give them comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So I say to you this because it's so nice to know the Word of God and to have that circumstance happen, and to know where I'm headed, and what I'm doing, and what God's called me to. It's so clear. Yeah. And the whole thing, you see the picture that if I had not known Him, if I had not understood the Word of God, I wouldn't be able to do that. So that my encouragement, I think, you know, when we seek God, there is no loss whatsoever. You know, all you do is gain. And the longer that you stay with Him, the longer you follow Him, the longer you seek Him, the better it gets for you. But of course, in the beginning, it's rather difficult. Take strong-willed people. Luke was really strong-willed. I mean, he's a really strong-willed dude. Maybe the strongest of all my grandchildren. Takes strong little people that he loves and takes them down and prepares them for heaven. What God does. And after you've suffered a little while, God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, success in life, to define success, success is when a person has learned to love. When we learn to love, we're successful. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate in it day and night, that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So, if you learn from the book and you learn to love and get God's love, you're successful. I don't care what your job was, I don't care how much money you made, I mean, it doesn't make any difference. When a person has learned to love, he's succeeding in life no matter how he has failed elsewhere. It doesn't make any difference. That's a 180 from what our belief system does. And that just takes, that rips into the center of everything you believe. And that's the truth. So that's all I have for us tonight. Pain, suffering, humility, and love. And enjoy the Spirit of God. It is never removed from us that are following Him. That's another beautiful thing about being in Christ. It's never removed. And the Spirit of God is the person of the Spirit. His characteristics are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can't take one out and say, this is what I have. You have the whole basket. So, if you have that, and you have the whole basket, and you can, through whatever you do, it's never going to change. You just suffer around through it, or going through the pain, or whatever it is, and you have that forever until you see Him. What a great tremendous gift. So what I presented to you this week really is the gift of suffering. It's a gift. And when you receive God's gift of suffering, you're able to cope with all things and see it as a gift. Not something that I need to fight, something I need to get rid of, something I need to fix. We'll take care of the whole thing. So I would say final words, love never fails. Can't fail. But 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails. Yeah. Any thoughts? Any other things you got, Richie? You know, I've had four sessions, I've had four sessions, and I'm not that clear a speaker, so there's probably things you might want to just bring up and talk for a minute or two. We can do that.
I was going to ask, why do you think so many people fail to truly learn to love.
I think it's how, the beginning of it is how they deal with their pain. The first step. They really do. I mean, if you cut your finger with a razor blade, how long does the pain last? 30 seconds? 48 minutes? Maybe? Does it last a long time? How much? So I deal with it. I don't have to do myself with that. So I mean, but I have to identify that there's some pain. And after the pain subsides and goes away, I forget about it. I don't have to suffer that. But many things, especially emotional things, we have to suffer. Pain just doesn't, it happens all the time. It happens with my home, it happens with my wife, it happens, those are little tiny ones, you know. And then you have big ones, and you have all kinds of pain. Because this is the pathway to love. It's the first step, and it's the road. This is the road. Pain, suffering, loathing, and then love. If you tell them what through those, I say they have no. Because I've been there. I've experienced no love. I've been no love person as a Christian. I've had to learn all these things. These are all learned behaviors of the process of the time. He's learning these things. Jesus learned obedience to the things which he suffered. If Jesus had to do it, do we have to do it? We have to learn. So we're in a learning stage with God. He has to teach us. I think that's the answer to that.
I've been
through
a lot of
That was before this one. This is not a major suffering to me, by the way. It's not one, because it's a different place. In other words, when this happened, I mean, I love Chris, I love my daughter, I love all that, but it wasn't, I didn't have nothing except Dave and time to comfort. And that was it. And I went after it. And I really didn't, like most of my family, I suffered less than any of my family. Process that I tried to walk through started with my anger about every suffering that I had. I was angry with my daughter. I was angry because she did this. I was angry because she was marrying a black guy. I was angry. I was filled with anger. This is my own control issues to make things happen the way I want them, rather than looking to God to meet the needs for these things. So that's been processing. And I said, I don't know, there may be some more too coming up. I mean, I'm still going to die. You know? And I don't know what that's going to look like, what that's going to take place. We all have to die. And then, when we finish this suffering part of our life, and we go to be with him, and then he takes care of eternity. And we, as we met yesterday, we're around the throne with him. In the throne room with him. If we continue on this path. And there's no male, female in heaven. You know, there's no male, female. It's everybody. There's nothing between the legs of people in heaven. It's a little crude. You know.
Right, not that.
Oh, the second suffering?
Like you said, you had 11 pounds.
Right.
So is the third one easier to handle than the first one?
Yeah, I'd say yes.
Process, you know what to do or how to handle it easier.
I'd say yes, that does happen. You start to get, you begin to learn. Like that day that, when I woke up and I sat in the chair and God says, you're learning to suffer. I had no idea. I didn't even know I had to learn something. And that's what he said to me then. Then I started connecting with Jesus' suffering and all those things that started coming and making sense.
Were you able to surrender quicker?
Surrender?
Quicker to the suffering? As you did, you start to... You give up your rights faster around it?
I think so, yeah. You start understanding his purpose, this is purposeful. Yeah. It's not something I need to fight.
What do you have to say about people who believe in acquired traits and habits? In other words, they feel like it's genetic.
Those addictions,
well, they could be addictions, they could be reasons that people behave a certain way. They could also impact, they could be transferred from mother to son.
Like myself and the bike. The bike people and all that.
No, that's more acquired. So you have the genetics that basically come through your genes.
Okay. I see. So your question is the genetic side.
Yeah.
He's not scientific.
The gene pool.
He's not scientific. He's not gonna tell you. That's not what he's not scientific, he's not gonna tell you.
Very well scientific. But I don't know about scientists. Maybe one of the scientific people would be able to answer that. Like Russell.
Hey Dave. 1 Peter 3:17 says, for it is better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. What are your thoughts about that?
Hallelujah. I just think that's true.
That's
another kind of suffering I didn't address. I didn't talk about it. Yes. Right. It is suffering. It's probably the hardest suffering. One of the hardest. Because if you're doing good, goodness is taking place, and you're going to get ripped for it. I mean, that's hard. That takes great dependence on the Lord and walk through that stuff. Yeah.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
To add to that, I was thinking, there's suffering because we sin, and there's consequences. Then there's righteous suffering, because we're with Christ. Which suffering are you talking about here? Are you talking about both?
All of them. Really, all of them.
So, even if it's consequences of our own doing, our own decisions, our own sin, suffering because of that is categorized.
Yeah, I don't think you can split it the core. I think that it's all suffering in the scripture, so I just see it as maybe someone further down the line could give you a better answer than that. Now, every problem, every issue of life is spiritual. Everything. So, if you're suffering, there's a spiritual answer. And so, it's kind of like two people going to the marriage counselor. If you've got one person that's spiritual and wants to see marriage work, there's a good chance you can get there. If you've got two people going to the marriage counselor, 90% chance you're going to get a divorce. So I'm not, it's just the whole suffering thing. I don't want to suffer, so I try to fix everything. And God is the only one that can fix. He says, who can fix? And Ecclesiastes, who can fix what God has made crooked? What do you think about that? It's a piece of wisdom, isn't it? We're running around trying to fix what he's got in his crooked. So we've got to follow him and get uncrooked. to get there. So it's very challenging, but it's only simplistic too. But this is what very simple minded people like myself. Simple things they call us. But nobody wants to be simple, but it's simple is this is simple. It's just for all people. Okay? Thanks so much. I really it's been a blessing to me being able to stand up here with all of them and share these things. And you know, another thing I'll say to you is that this is probably for you a year from now. This is our sense for this is probably not for today. And you'll be the Spirit of God will got these down in the cycle and he'll be up and wants to. And all of us go through these things. So you should be somewhere prepared for them when you come. So thanks for the blessing.